Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
April 3rd, 2019. Thank you for joining me yet again. Even with all of the negative pushback that we've been covering for at least a couple of weeks now, but for much longer than that, but a lot of pushback just the last couple of weeks, even with all of the negative pushback from literally everyone else in the world, Israel is going to be sending 250,000 so-called settlers into the Golan Heights. Russia is executing airstrikes on terrorist areas in Idlib. And we know what that means, especially with the U.S.'s, you know, red line that we just saw thrown down about Idlib yet again, as they protect the very terrorists they pretend to be fighting. In Venezuela, Guaido has been officially stripped of immunity and is apparently to be prosecuted. Bolton makes a fool of himself in yet another extremely feeble attempt at propaganda. The U.S. military apparently lost about $7 billion in equipment in Afghanistan to looting, they claim, because I guess nobody was paying attention. And it looks like Libya is about to take back its capital from U.S.-funded terrorists. Lots of interesting stuff happening today. But to begin, as if we needed any more evidence that Netanyahu took Trump's Golan Heights proclamation as an open invitation to break the law, clearly emboldened by it. This coming from Middle East Eye to start off the show today, entitled Israel to Displace 65,000 Bedouin citizens. I made sure to say that correctly. Bedouin citizens in development plan. Development plan. Yeah, see these nice whitewashed words we get, like settlements and development, and you know, which is, you know, euphemisms for illegal occupation and displacement of people. But now they're going to be displacing 65,000 Palestinian people, more than they already have. Clearly, as I said, emboldened by Trump's recent proclamation, knowing that this is illegal, regarded as illegal by the United Nations. All these settlements are still regarded as illegal. You know, so is the Golan Heights as well. But see, the United States and Israel don't seem to care about that. And now they're going to be, you know, emboldened by Trump's statement, which is displacing 65,000 people. This is just upsetting, to say the least. Seeing that, you know, if you're an American, that your government is okay with this, complicit, emboldening his actions, even though they're recognized as illegal. Because we know the law just doesn't matter today for Israel and U.S. foreign policy, or policy in general, for that matter. So the Israeli government just yesterday announced a plan that would see tens of thousands of Bedouin Palestinian citizens displaced from their communities under the guise of, you know, development. And understand, these are communities that they established after being displaced to begin with. Now, the plan aims to regulate, they claim, the situation of some 125,000 Bedouin citizens in the Negev area who currently live in homes or entire communities that are just arbitrarily deemed illegal or unrecognized by Israeli authorities. We've covered this in a past show, where they'll either just refuse to recognize a legitimate location because they seek to move them out of the way and bring in Jewish Israeli settlers to take over their area, or they revoke their recognition so that they can remove them from these areas. It's basically, we're talking about a corrupt government arbitrarily deeming something recognized or unrecognized, in order to remove people from these areas. So that's what we're seeing here, because they just choose to not recognize the fact that these people have established a community here. They can just kick them out of the way, or they can't really, under international laws. The United Nations has roundly said it is illegal. They just don't care, which is kind of becoming a theme lately with this show, pointing out that they're breaking the law and just don't care and expect you to just go along with it because they're the good guys, apparently. Now, Bedouin Palestinian citizens have faced systematic discrimination since the illegal founding of the State of Israel on occupied Palestine, including mass displacement, segregation, land confiscation, and lack of investment. Now, first of all, for those that, again, still scoff at the idea of the, you know, or even make it out to be some kind of a racist against Jewish people statement saying the illegal State of Israel and occupied Palestine, but remember that it is still considered occupied territory under the United Nations. Regardless of what the U.S. wants to say or Israel, the international body of the world is still maintaining that it's an illegal occupation. So the point is that since this illegal occupation of Palestine, these people have been displaced and have been continually kicked around. And now it's happening yet again. Now, the new plan will reportedly redraw the boundaries, you know, because they choose to, of already existing official townships. so as to essentially retroactively illegalize the homes of tens of thousands of Bedouin citizens, which is exactly what I was just talking about. These people already in boundaries that exist because the Israeli government just decides to redraw the boundaries, retroactively making them illegal or unrecognized. This is just wildly corrupt because they don't think these people are real citizens, as they've roundly pointed out, as I've shown that clip 1,000 times of the member of parliament from Ireland showing all of the statements from Netanyahu's government saying these people are less than human. They don't deserve to live. We should exterminate all their families. These are statements by Netanyahu's own government about Palestinians. They don't think these people deserve to live here, and they're seeking to completely ethnically cleanse them and take their territory. This is widely acknowledged. The only people that argue it are people that are blinded by mainstream propaganda or go along with the Israeli and U.S. governments and their propaganda as well. Now, some 65,000 of these people we're talking about, of their so-called unrecognized communities, will, as they're claiming, be completely relocated, forcefully, as we've seen roundly happen. Throwing pregnant women to the ground and kicking children and taking, and this is, I'm not just making this up, these are videos we've shown before, bulldozing people's homes because they just told them out of nowhere, you're now unrecognized, you need to be relocated. Now, the budget for the plan is said to be around $2.5 billion, including the construction of 150,000 housing units. So nice that they can spend this money and construct all these wonderful homes only once they remove all the Palestinians from the area and give it to the people that are taking their territory. It kind of aligns with their foreign policy alignment anyway. Now, Israeli authorities have long sought to concentrate the Bedouin population into a small number of official townships. It's not hard to see this stuff. It's recognizable that they want, for a long time, they've sought to remove them from their territory and bunch them together in a place like Gaza, you know, an open-air prison, where they can be controlled and obfuscated and shut down. But they're basically trying to be shoving them into these townships, communities, areas, which consistently, as they've shown, ranked among the poorest in the country. Big surprise. But so this is happening yet again, driving these people into locations where they don't want to be, displacing them over and over because they're not Jews. They're not Israeli citizens in an apartheid state. This is literally what we're talking about. These are all verifiable facts, and I really hope people that don't agree will take a moment to actually look into the information. Now, on the same note, discussing brazen disregard for international law and human rights, and the fact that the international community is clear, very clear, on the fact that what Israel is doing is illegal. It's not disputed, other than Israel and the United States and their cheap little ally circle of human rights violating groups. But the fact that the international community is very clear that it is illegal, and not only carried out these illegal actions anyway, Israel, but since Trump's decree, has clearly pulled out all the stops. This next one coming from the anti-media, and it's basically the exact kind of story, or I guess in reverse in a way, but it's a similar topic. Israel to send 250,000 settlers to Syria's Golan Heights. The reason it's kind of different is because this is Syrian territory. But nonetheless, the people in these locations, such as the Druze population that the Israeli government pretends they're trying to fight for, even though the Druze do not want Israel's help and want to be part of Syria, they've openly said that. But those are the people that are likely going to be replaced or, you know, settled into some other location, trying to use their ridiculous terms. That this 250,000 people in this location clearly is meant to change the ethnic setting of the area. Take it. Literally change it from what it is right now, moving these people, just like we're talking about the Bedouin Palestinians, removing them forcefully by settling the area. And this, again, if this was done by anybody else but Israel, especially a U.S. adversary, this would be a massively big deal. Not because it's Israel, the mainstream media and our government can choose to ignore it while making up lies about other countries, because that's what they do today. Now, Israel is planning to settle at least 250,000 settlers, these terms, in the occupied Syrian Golan Heights over the next 30 years, they claim. This is according to the Israeli Broadcasting Authority, IBA, from yesterday. But again, the occupied, illegally occupied and still contested area that they're now just going to bring people into because Trump signed a piece of paper. Now, the report comes just 1 week after he signed this piece of paper, basically making a decree that the Golan Heights is now Israeli territory, even though he does not have the legal standing or the authority to do so. Now, according to the IBA, the Israeli plan also includes construction of 2 new Jewish settlements in the occupied Golan Heights, just slowly and illegally expanding the borders of the Greater Israel Project. Now, along with thousands of new settlements units as well in this area, and a raft of planned transport and tourism projects, while it's still contested. Just recognize the absurdity of this. showing you that they don't care what the international community thinks. They don't care what the United Nations thinks. They do not care about anything other than the fact that the U.S. will support their illegal actions. Now, the population, and again, remember that this all stems from the very, very obvious and overwhelming influence Israel and their lobbying groups have on U.S. policy, which I think is just completely settled by now. Now, the population of the Golan Heights currently stands at about 50,000, including already about 22,000 settlers that are encroaching on their territory. This is according to Israeli figures. So we're talking about a location that only has 50,000, which already has about half of those being settlers. And they're talking about bringing in 250,000 more illegal settlers to an area that right now only has 50,000. Just think about why they would do that. Clearly, as we pointed out, they're trying to literally rewrite the history of this area. It's ethnic cleansing. It's what we're seeing and what they're doing everywhere. Again, of course, you know, if this was some other group besides Israelis or Jewish people, it would be a very bad thing. It'd be racist, right? You can't allow this. That's ethnic cleansing. But they do it, it's okay. Meaning the Zionist-controlled Israeli government. See the hypocrisy there? Of course, because we can't talk about what they're doing. It's okay. Now, clearly, what's been happening with Israel is very important, which is why we cover it a lot. But it's important to recognize that this is not some fringe reality. This is not some racist, bigoted concept that people... This is about crimes being committed by a government. And the fact that the world... Thank you for the super chat, by the way. Liban, I appreciate that. But it's not just these... that people are beginning to wake up to this. People are beginning to recognize it and speak out. Somebody who we've talked about in the past, speaking out against U.S. foreign policy, the president of Bolivia. Here's a tweet. Bolivia declares Israel a terrorist state because of the ongoing offensive in the Gaza Strip. Quote, Israel does not respect the principles or purposes of the United Nations Charter, nor the Universal Declaration for Human Rights. Pretty damn obvious. Now, Morales has been very, very bold on the world stage for, to some degree. Well, it makes me worry that he's going to be the next one to be regime changed for freedom and democracy. But clearly people are beginning to have the courage to stand up and point out what's really happening. And this, again, goes beyond race. It goes beyond creed, bigotry, anything. It's about crimes being committed and human rights, people being killed. That's all you need to know. It's not just okay they're being killed because it's Israel. See, this is the ridiculous backward-bending nature that we're in today, where you bend over backwards to try to make it okay because of the person involved. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. It shouldn't matter who's involved at the end of the day, and they are breaking the law. Now, on one more important note, actually, before I move on to some information, some updates about Venezuela, but something about Syria that I wanted to include that it's not necessarily a big breaking story, but it's going to mean something in the coming days, possibly even the end of the day, to see how U.S. responds to this. And this in regard to Idlib, this coming from South Front, in regard to Russia and what's going on in Syria. Titled, Russian Warplanes Struck Positions of Terrorists in Southern Idlib. Now, we know that the U.S. has thrown down its red line. You know, don't attack Idlib, even though it's ridiculous. Actually, I just thought of this. Think of how absurd it is for the United States to threaten Russia to stay out of Venezuela. Oh, you can't be there. Not in our Western Hemisphere. How dare you get involved down there? And now here's Russia getting involved in Syria with their ally, not on the Western Hemisphere. And here U.S. steps in and says, oh, you can't do that. Don't get involved in Syria. You're not allowed to do that. I mean, God, can we not see the ridiculous and hypocritical nature of their rhetoric? What is it? Is it hemisphere aspect? I mean, it's the U.S. puts its foot down wherever it wants about anything going on around the world. The U.S. oligarchy. People that have illegally stolen our foreign policy from the American people. Clearly. Because I think it's very clear that our voting doesn't do anything anymore. But anyway, the point is that the reality is it's absurd to see them tell them they can't get involved in Syria while they're telling Russia they can't get involved in their hemisphere. It's just humorous to me to see that people can't put together these contradictions. Now, just this morning, warplanes of the Russian Aerospace Forces carried out a series of airstrikes on terrorist positions in the southern countryside in Idlib. Now, as we've pointed out, McGurk and plenty of other people in the U.S. have said that this is the last strong, the safe haven for Al-Qaeda, which is Idlib. Clearly, this is a terrorist stronghold, as they've said repeatedly. But yet then when this starts happening is when they start feigning concern for all of the civilians that are there, even though they just said it was all terrorists. I mean, there are civilians in these areas and they are suffering. It's because of U.S. foreign policy. and they're trying to take this area back to help them. So this is going to escalate. I can almost promise you we're going to see more threats and possibly the false flag that Russia's warning about in this area. Now, the pro-opposition news outlet, Inab Baladi, said that the Russian airstrikes targeted the strategic hill of Nabi Ayyab, which is located within the region of Jabal Zawiya. Now, the outlet's reporter confirmed that no civilians were injured or killed in the airstrikes. That's an important point to remember. And this is in pro-opposition. So remember, this is the group that you would expect to attack Russia. They're saying that no one was killed. So when this gets escalated and they start making random claims, remember that the first person on the ground who was against their efforts said no one died. Now, on April 3rd, the strike on April 3rd was the first, which was yesterday, today, was the first aerial attack on Idlib terrorists since March 22nd. Now, this, again, is going to be used to create the justification, even though it's not really legitimate, for the United States to just kind of push off the table the discussion of leaving Syria in general. Oh, well, now we can't. Now there's too much going on. Now we have to stay in Syria, which, by the way, is exactly what happened last time. So keep an eye out for that. Now, also, tomorrow I have an interview with Vanessa Beely, so make sure I will most likely post it tomorrow. So make sure you tune in for that, because we're going to be talking about these exact kind of false claims being made about Russian and Syrian airstrikes in Idlib specifically in these Syrian areas, as well as the white helmets being connected with human trafficking and organ trafficking, which is a huge deal that was discussed at The Hague, an international body with all kinds of nations bringing evidence to show it. And guess what? The mainstream media in the United States and the Western powers completely ignored it. And then Trump gave them $5 more million. But we'll get to that tomorrow as I interview her. So make sure you tune in for that. Now on to some Venezuelan news. This is actually very interesting the way that this developed, because obviously the United States is just going to disregard this. Oh, well, that's an illegitimate group. Oh, the Constituent Assembly and Maduro's government, they're all fake and usurpers and using whatever random words they want to use, even though they don't actually understand the definition of them. Usurper being the main one, because he didn't usurp anything from anybody. In fact, Guaido is actually the definition of a usurper. But now they're taking away his immunity due to his position and potentially could face prosecution. And this could get interesting. Venezuela's opposition leader stripped of immunity could face prosecution. Now, where this goes is going to be used either way. The United States is going to use this regardless, just like they have everything else. Even when their efforts fail, they put it out there and they manipulate it and say, success, we won, Guaido wins again, right? Like, it's just really painful to watch them try to spin everything that they're losing efforts. But if he gets prosecuted, I find it very interesting how this has developed to where they're calling him this maniac dictator, but he wants to prosecute him, right? I mean, it's funny to me. Now, Venezuelan lawmakers have apparently lifted opposition leader Juan Guaido's immunity and authorized his criminal prosecution by the Supreme Court. But again, the United States thinks it's illegitimate, so it won't regard it with any legitimacy, but it is. Again, because the vast majority of Venezuelans support them, the vast majority of Americans support them, the vast majority of the world supports Maduro. Simple facts. Easy to look up if you're not blindly listening to what the mainstream media and the Western powers tell you. Now, the move by the Constituent Assembly, the legitimate government, paves the way for Guaido's potential arrest for violating the Constitution when he declared himself interim president illegally. Now, the April 2nd court ruling cited Guaido's violation of the ban on his travel outside Venezuela when he visited neighboring countries last month in order to drum up support for their attempt to run on the border. The big humanitarian aid stunt the U.S. pulled and lit their own trucks on fire. Now, the court requested that the assembly lift Guaido's immunity for usurping Maduro's powers, literally what that word actually means, after he declared himself interim president on January 23rd. Now, a move which has only been recognized, mind you, by about 25% of the world's 195 nations. Let that sink in. So they continue to say, oh, we've got 50 countries that support by saying we have 50 support them is a way of not saying we only have about a quarter of the world behind this. Think about that. And this is the way that they manipulate you using propaganda. Oh, 65, kind of all these different numbers they throw out have declared this. But the reality is that most people do not support this move. It's very easy if you show some discernment and question what you're told, especially by the mainstream liars. Now, Guaido has earlier voiced fears of being, as he says, abducted by government agents following the court's request. Yet, they have, yet again, outsmarted the U.S. coup here. And I just, again, I find this very humorous by not acting like the dictator they pretend he is, and instead actually choosing to prosecute him through the legal system. What a maniacal dictator, right? I mean, it's just, it's so humorous to me that they try to make this, oh, he's such an evil villain. And it's, he's putting him through the system where he's going to have a jury and a court. I mean, they're going to argue that it's a kangaroo court and it's all fake and it's all, even though every other group, and especially in regard to the elections, other than the U.S., has said very clearly that it's entirely legitimate. Some of the most legitimate elections in the world, but they just don't want you to listen to that. So my guess is Guaido's going to go to trial for this. They're going to prosecute him, and he'll probably go to jail because he's a criminal. But he could get away if they manipulate the court system like so many lawyers do. That's not what a dictator does. I hope people can see that. Now, moving on to the next, for this is my favorite part of the show today. This is so funny to me. And I wish I could have written this out of the whole title, but I just put, you know, Bolton fail at the last part, hoping that people would see that and be like, I can't wait to see what Bolton screwed up here, because this is very humorous, because it's bad. This regime change effort has been very bad, as you all have been paying attention have seen. It's been bad. They've been failing at every step of the way. The propaganda has been weak. They've been lying, getting caught. And here we are again. And this one is one of the worst. This coming from Zero Hedge. Thousands of Venezuelans break through border barricades. Bolton cheers mayhem. Oh, this must be the watershed moment that we've all been waiting for, right? They break through the barriers. Things are changing. People are running. The world is shifting. People are fighting for Guaido. That's what it seems like, right? That's what they want you to think when you start, when you take a look at Bolton's tweet. The Venezuelan people have broken through Maduro's barricades and have begun moving humanitarian aid from Colombia across the border. Another important victory for interim President Juan Guaido. Oh man, everything's changing for us, right? I mean, this is what the people that don't do their research, that read this and they go, yeah, everything's shifting. We knew it. The world is coming our way. But it's not what's happening. So National Security Advisor John Bolton on Tuesday tweeted just last night, quote, the Venezuelan people, I just read it for you, they've broken through Maduro's barricades, you know, broken through, right? Just aggressively broken through, fighting through the other side. And of course, he links to this tweet with the video that he shows. Says the same thing. Video shows the moment Venezuelans broke down the barriers on the bridge and across the splash. But before we get too excited about how what a monumental move this is, why don't we take a look at the video? The video that he links to in his tweet. Let's take a quick look at what he thinks is so important here. Okay, so, you know, people milling around, looks like they're laughing. Oh, look, a single barrier tips over very casually. Oh my God, this is huge. This is just so ridiculous. People seemingly laughing, carrying shopping bags. Clearly everybody here is starving to death, right? Clearly, oh, look at her, man, we're starving to death. People are struggling. I mean, I'm not trying to belittle it. There are struggling people everywhere, including in Venezuela, especially because of U.S. actions. But I just can't get past the absurdity of what he wants this to look like on that tweet, of a little yellow barrier, one flimsy thing that tips over very slowly, and they just all start walking across the bridge. There's no police. I don't see any military. No one's trying to stop them. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's laughable. And again, I have to point out, these people, are they carrying humanitarian aid? Isn't that the claim? That they're rushing into Venezuela with humanitarian aid? Isn't that what he claimed? But in reality, I see a bunch of people in their designer clothes and their shopping bags from the mall walking across. I mean, clearly there are some people that are probably fleeing something bad or probably doing, you know, but it's not what he described. And I think it's important that we recognize how just intentionally false that is. The tweet, everything that he put out. It's embarrassing. Like, I feel bad for him. Now, Bolton called attention to the footage I just showed you, described as showing, quote, the moment that Venezuelans broke down the barriers on the Simon Bolivar Bridge to cross back into Venezuela with supplies, he says. So first of all, clearly they're going to Colombia. So I don't know if he's just as blatantly lying or not. Or clearly, I think we can assume that's probably what he's doing. But so he's just wrong right there. Clearly they're going into Colombia. They're not carrying humanitarian aid. But the moment they I just love the broke down the barriers. It casually tips over this little yellow thing. Like, it's just so funny to me. Now, a breaking Reuters report described the incident to which Bolton referred as involving thousands of people rushing the border. Of course, humorous, which was blocked by a large container truck barricades, they claim in the article. Now, this is, again, how insulting this is to your intelligence for those that have been paying attention. Reuters article says thousands of Venezuelans broke through barricades. Same propaganda line, because they were all handed this down from the Pentagon, from the White House and intelligence group. This is what they do. As I've showed you, the propaganda multiplier. Reuters, Associated Press, the French press agency, those are the groups that mitigate the false information down to Fox and CNN and all the rest, and they just blindly regurgitate it. So Reuters is part of the problem, like all of them, and they just give it what they're given. They broke through the barricades, they say, along the international border with Colombia on Tuesday, according to the migration office in Bogota, which warned Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro that he would be held responsible for any problems that may occur. Maduro, in February, they claim, blocked bridges joining the two nations in a bid to prevent U.S.-backed effort to distribute hundreds of tons of humanitarian aid to the crisis-racked nation. Now, first, you guys are watching, you know that's an utter lie. The bridge they're referring to was shut down in 2016, or rather, it never opened to begin with. The big containers in the way of the bridge, which I should have brought up a picture so you could see it, but I'm sure most of you know what I'm referring to. They claim it was shut down just recently because they were trying to force an aid. And that was debunked immediately. Bolton, Pompeo, all of them still maintain that he shut it down recently because of the supposed aid they were trying to force through. And of course, they were trying to prevent the U.S.-backed effort of hundreds of tons, even though it wasn't even close to that much. And it was actually a bunch of nails and wire, and they set the truck on fire anyway. I mean, this is offensive how bad a how terrible this is. This is not journalism. Clearly, this is lies. And it goes on to say, the best part, with bridges blocked by containers and trucks, Venezuelans have been wading through, I believe it's the Tachura River, to reach the city of Cúcuta on Colombia's northern border to find food, medicine, and work. As clearly, those people were all starving to death, rushing through to get medicine and work in their designer clothes with their shopping bags. Clearly. But here's the part that I found the most entertaining. Guess what you're looking at right there? You're looking at the Tachira River and the bridge they're referring to. Apparently, these people have been wading through the river, wading through to get to the other side. Clearly, they can do a lot of wading here. Now, this was taken at the point is this could have changed since I've seen this image. Clearly, they could have had rain, the river could have raised, but the point is this is the bridge we're talking about with the people they're talking about with no river to be seen. And these apparently people are wading through to the other side because they're struggling. The point I'm trying to make, belaboring the point here, is they're lying to you in every possible way to trump up the whole story, to make it seem like such a bad thing. Oh my God, you need to be emotionally outraged, so much so that you just don't research anything. Start crying for these people. Start getting outraged and upset and angry. Let your emotions overtake you so you don't think about how utterly obvious this is. This is how bad their propaganda is. Now remember, the reason I said Bolton fail is because this is supposed, he tweeted this out like it was some watershed moment. Another victory for Guaido, he says, as people who weren't being stopped crossed the border to Colombia with their belongings or shopping bags. Some of them were clearly mall shopping bags. I mean, it's just embarrassing. Like, again, it's a simple look at the very footage that Bolton shared himself, which you can look at in the show notes, makes it quite obvious that not only are these people not in danger, many seemingly laughing as they move across this little yellow fence, and clearly not starving to death, but they are also clearly not carrying humanitarian aid, like he says. And they tout shopping bags, apparently from stores that the U.S. apparently claims have nothing on the shelves, apparently, but there's something in those bags, I imagine. Now, it appears that Venezuelans are trying to move across to Colombia in this video for any number of reasons. Which, in the article, they point out that clearly, I mean, it could be for work. People live on the border and they need to cross over regularly to go to get jobs. It doesn't mean that they're rushing across the border for any negative reason, which is an obvious thing to point out. It's been blocked, so they just need to get across. The point is that they appear to be going to Colombia, which means Bolton, as the article points out, appears to be completely, nicely say, maybe misreading or perhaps willfully distorting the whole incident, which I argue the latter, as they've done repeatedly. And again, there was no resistance. No one was stopping them from crossing. Now, it also must be remembered that during the late February incident, which we just talked about in regard to the border and the trucks along the border at the Francisco de Paula Santander International Bridge is the name, two aid trucks were set on fire, which we've covered. We've talked about this repeatedly with the information. We've shared all the research. The two aid trucks were set on fire, an incident that the U.S. blamed on Maduro forces and still makes this claim today. That's important to remember that right now they still make this lie, despite the fact that it was later proven to be the work of the opposition. Guaido's forces, backed by the United States, which shows that Washington is clearly willing to use, even as the article puts it, false flag events to escalate the situation. I mean, it's painfully obvious. It's something we need to continue to recognize. Now, the reality on the ground, as people such as Eva Bartlett, Vanessa Bealey, Max Blumenthal, Anya Pramphill, Abby Martin, even UN expert Alfred de Zayas have repeatedly pointed out, is that there is no humanitarian crisis in Venezuela. Now, I know that's just controversial. You can't even utter that phrase today because that's just a given. But it's not. All the people that we should be listening to have said very clearly after extensive research on the ground, the very thing mainstream media doesn't do, that it's not the case. Now, there are issues, sure. We know this. But the two points that each of the people I just listed made is that first, you can find just as much, if not more, poverty and food insecurity in numerous, countless U.S.-controlled nations. But the U.S. does not care because they already have control of those nations. They've already overthrown their governments. It's not about helping people. So they simply don't care about acknowledging the crisis that's happening in their controlled territory, only about using the other ones so they can overthrow another country. And second, the second point that they've all made is that the issues Venezuela does have, because there are issues, plenty of them, currently with food, water, electricity, are almost entirely due to U.S. actions. In particular, the recent blackouts. We've shown this. The information we've continued to point out about the Canvas group funded by the United States and the memo that outlines literally exactly what they did or exactly the problem that's happening with the Gurri Dam and how they should abuse the situation for regime change. And it just so happens to be what's going to happen, what happened all the way till today. They must have been psychic. And all the information, we know that they're connected to this. It's not a secret. Now, and obviously here, as I have been saying, and anyone with a functioning brain can see, lots of aid has been getting into Venezuela. Even before the U.S. aid stunt at the border, there was aid coming in, and the U.S. government is still, right now, this very moment, lying to you about that. Just like they're lying about the trucks on fire, just like they're lying about everything. They're right now lying to you the fact that they're claiming that no other aid is getting in. And as you can see, Alfred de Zayas himself, a very reputable person, very clearly, China just brought in 65 tons. That's just recently. There's been hundreds of tons that have come in from all kinds of places. They just don't want you to think that. Now, the recent failing U.S. coup attempt in Venezuela has brought attention to the real world effect of the very disastrous real world effect of U.S. interventionism. And of course, the disasters that it has on its victim nations, because it is a victim nation. But this failing coup has clearly brought attention to what it can do. And a very important aspect to this that has become much more apparent because of this recognition is the topic of the migrant caravans. Now, hopefully more than ever, people can see that the largest factor at play with this migration is U.S. foreign policy, U.S. regime change, and the destabilization within the overthrown countries. We have to recognize the reality of what's actually at least the largest part in all of this.
When I hear the media and Marco Rubio and all these people from Washington, like Abrams, speaking about a humanitarian crisis in Venezuela, I scream and I say, what about the humanitarian crisis that the United States created in Honduras in 2009 when the U.S. backed a coup there under the administration of President Barack Obama and his Secretary of State Hillary Clinton against President Zelaya? That coup created the conditions in Honduras of extreme poverty, extreme violence, and the reasons for why people are leaving Honduras today. My name is Lu. Lucy Paguada Quesada, and I'm the official representative of the FNRP, which is the Honduran in Resistance here in the United States, the immigrant community, and the Libre Party, which is the political arm of the Honduran Resistance, coordinated in Honduras by President Zelaya. The phenomenon of the caravans that everybody is talking about, we have to realize that more than 80% of the people who are in the caravans literally walking miles, thousands of miles to try to come to the United States. It is because of what U.S. imperialism has done in Honduras. Those are the conditions that are forcing people to leave. That's where the real humanitarian crisis is.
Now, as always, the full link to the article and the video is in the show notes for you to watch. The full video, I highly recommend it. But it's just important to recognize. Now, for understanding that I'm not advocating that we just, or rather that this country just allow everybody to rush in the country because of U.S. foreign policy. I'm not claiming that at all. I'm not saying I have an answer to the problem. There's clearly an issue that's developing, but we have to recognize why it's happening. We have to treat the problem, not the symptoms. And the problem is U.S. foreign policy, U.S. imperialism in South America that has destroyed these countries. Honduras is just one of them. It's much more than just U.S. imperialist foreign policy in Honduras. It's foreign policy in Latin America in general. But this video is just an insight into one of the many destabilized nations creating these caravans, all due to U.S. meddling. And it's important that we put that where it should be, that we recognize why this is happening, at least in part. Clearly, I have no doubt there's probably forces using this or making it larger than it really is for some kind of an agenda, but it stems to in large part to U.S. foreign policy. And we can no longer ignore that reality. So I recommend you watch this full video and understand where this all stems to. In the U.S. supporting 75% of the world's dictators today, it's not hard to realize that they're supporting dictators in the countries they've overthrown and allowing them to do all the things that they criticize or pretend are happening in places like Venezuela and Syria. It's okay when it's the country that they already control. It's okay. Let the people suffer there. Let the Yemen people suffer. We don't care about Yemen because we're over there. We're controlling that situation. But when it's a situation we don't control, well, we can't just take the oil and the gold if and when we want to. Then we're going to make up these reasons and then overthrow that country and create the situation we pretended we were fighting. And again, any of those that just hear me saying this and scoff and say, oh, that's crazy. Just think, you name one successful regime change of the United States oligarchy. Just one. Just give me one country that's better today because of the military intervention of the U.S. government. There is not a single one. People will make the argument. But historically speaking, you can see that every single time, the worst things happen after the U.S. overthrows the government. Now, moving on to some other foreign policy information in regard to this specifically is about the utter waste of our foreign policy. Military speaking, arms sales, basically the idea of the United States continuing to bloat the military-industrial complex, the budget, and continuing to aggressively call for basically unfettered spending. And because of that, this story should more than anything really upset you to see how wasteful things really are. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. I forgot to share I had the image of the actual article so you could see it for yourself. Anyway, that's in there for you to see. So please watch that full video. But this story here, the next one from Afghanistan specifically, should really upset you because of how wasteful this is. While they're pretending they can't find money for other things, $7 billion in equipment is apparently looted, they claim. I questioned that. From former U.S. base in Afghanistan. First of all, former U.S. base, so basically a base that was no longer even under U.S. control, they claim, somehow still had $8 billion in equipment they left there. I understand how complicated it can be to transfer this stuff, but $8 billion? That's crazy. And it is eight. We'll get to it. And here, this $7 billion is what was missing. Unbelievable. Now, the U.S. apparently handed over Camp Kearney base in Paktika province in the Afghan government in 2014. Now, with an estimated $8 billion in equipment still inside of it when they handed this over, which right off the bat, you should be like, wait a minute. That's $8 billion U.S. tax dollars that we don't get back. But they don't care, right? Doesn't matter. They the more they spend, the more they're going to have to call for from government, from Congress. We need more military spending. We need another $8 billion because we just left it all over there. That's why they need to bomb somewhere else when they stop bombing in other locations, because the bomb's got to go somewhere. This is the reality of our military-industrial complex that they don't want you to see, that it's a business. Now, today, the estimation is that only about $1 billion of the equipment is left right now. So that's $7 billion of equipment that's just gone. Now, understand, this is military equipment, weapons, ammunition, munitions. These are things that can be used to kill people by, you know, terrorists. That's why I question whether it was looted or not. So what happened between then and now that cost about $7 billion? Basically just mass looting of people running in and taking what they want. So why is this happening? I mean, it doesn't make sense. The provincial governor says that former governors, local mayors, members of parliament, and even commanders have all had a go at the site. It's just a community United States military depot that can just come take what they want. And everyone has been entering the base and just taking anything that wasn't nailed down, they claim. Now, though we didn't name names, pretty much everything was considered fair game, apparently, with military equipment stripped, vehicles stolen and sold off, and even locked containers full of weapons open and looted that U.S. tax dollars paid for. Now, while the looting apparently was not legal or authorized, as they claim, it's not at all clear what the government intends to do or if it intends to do anything about it, despite having a fairly good idea that the looting was mostly done by officials in positions to get access to it. You know, the people that the U.S. support. I mean, it's just comical. It's not clear how much is left or who has it. But the people that the U.S. are working to put in power just rob them blind of $8 million over the process of 3-4 years. I mean, it's amazing that this is the wastefulness while we're pretending we don't have money for other things. Well, we're continuing to, while Trump just asked for the most amount of money in history for the military, and he's going to ask for even more. This is what we're spending our money on. And yet we continue to allow the U.S. oligarchy to create the very chaos around the world that it uses to then justify essentially unlimited military spending. This $7 billion that was just lost due simply to negligence, or I would say almost willful malfeasance, could have been used to, you know, build the wall or any number of things that people are saying, oh, we can't find the money for this, or we can't take it from this or do that. Money comes out from everywhere. They want you to think they can't. That's the political theater. That they can just leave $8 billion sitting there because they don't want to move it, I'm willing to bet they could have shaved off a lot more than that for any number of things. Now, speaking of nations such as Afghanistan or Honduras or any number of others that were invaded, destabilized, raped of their resources, and then left to the very terrorists and dictators that were used to justify the illegal invasion, you know, all done, of course, under a guise of freedom, as it delivers the exact opposite, there is some interesting news developing in Libya that I wanted to include today for the final story. Now, this is interesting. This is not something I imagine most of you expected for the show or for me to cover. We've been covering a lot of other locations. Libya is definitely foreign policy included, and we've talked about it in regard to what happened there and why it's completely a failed state now because of U.S. liberation. You know, while they're trying to liberate other countries. Yeah, worked out well for Libya, I'm sure. And while Bolton continues to tout the Libya model, I mean, Bolton still thinks Iraq was a success. These people are maniacs, or they're just lying to you. But Libya, apparently, is about to fight itself back against U.S. forces, which makes me think that we're about to see another field of war. Well, it's already a field of war. U.S. is there. Whether they tell you or not, the U.S. is involved there in Africa specifically, in Libya, or Africa generally, Libya specifically. But I think this is going to kick off into something much bigger because of this. Entitled, Libyan National Army Moves Towards Tripoli to Clear It from Terrorists. Which terrorists are literally what they mean are the U.S.-backed people that are controlling the area, which we'll get to. But just think about this in regard to the oil, many other things. That this very well could kick off something much larger where we see again Western powers stepping in to quell a popular uprising, which is what it appears to me. I can't necessarily speak for the Libyan National Army and what their agenda is, but it appears that it's represented by, you know, the Libyan people. But again, that's my opinion. I mean, who ultimately knows? But I do know that the group that they're fighting against are the U.S.-backed forces controlling the area. That says a lot. Now, several units of the Libyan National Army, the LNA, began moving towards the western region where the country's capital, Tripoli, is located. Now, this is according to the LNA's media office. They announced this just today. Now, the video basically just shows a lot of trucks with guns just driving down the street. Basically, the point is, look at how serious we are. We have hundreds of trucks and we're headed to the Capitol. And it says, quote, under the direct supervision of the commander-in-chief of the Libyan National Army and upon his orders, several military units moved to the western region to neutralize the remaining terrorist groups. This according to the LNA and their media office statement. Now, Tripoli and several cities around it are under direct control of the Libyan Government of National Accord, the LGNA, the U.S.-backed forces. Now, the government, which is known for its radical views, is sheltering terrorists in the area. So, I mean, I don't think I need to point out again it's just coincidence that yet again we have a U.S.-supported group who is allowing terrorists in the locations. Weird how that works. It seems like the terrorist hotbeds are all in the areas the U.S. is currently there, you know, fighting them, I'm sure. As we've pointed out the opposite of that repeatedly. But again, just off on a side note, point out that the U.S. forces here allow terrorists to stay, which is very clear to see. So they're sheltering terrorists in their areas. Now, earlier this year, thank you for the super chat, Joseph. Earlier this year, the LNA, the Libyan National Army, which I believe is the supported popular movement, led by Field Marshal Khalifa Haftar, secured the southern region of Libya after crushing many radical groups and remnants of African mercenaries, all there because of the NATO-US-backed war, and captured key cities and oil fields, specifically oil fields, from the pro-LGNA forces in the southwest part of the country. So now we have popular movements taking oil fields and taking territory from the U.S.-supported terrorists on the ground. Now, a source in the LNA, the Libyan National Army, make sure I'm saying that right, a source in the Libyan National Army had told the Russian news agency, Sputnik, that the decision to liberate Tripoli from the LGNA and its militias has been made. That it's over, that we are on a mission to take back our territory, specifically focused on the capital right now. But it remains unclear just how far Haftar is willing to go, Haftar being the field marshal, especially because the LGNA is receiving direct support from the United States. So it depends on to what degree the United States is going to feel obligated to step in and defend the people that they're currently funding. And again, remember, these are the people that are the terrorist groups that are selling slaves on the open slave market, and they're allowing terrorist groups to populate within this area. Big shock. I'm shocked the U.S. is funding this group. It's just the examples are countless around the world. We just don't like to talk about it. Oh, no, we can't acknowledge that the U.S. government is funding terrorism. No. That's off limits, even though it's here and here and here and here and here and here. No, we can't talk about it. But I think this is going to develop into something much more serious. And we have to, again, remember that the only reason Libya is in this position, coming from what before U.S. intervention, was the nation in Africa with the highest quality of life. Just like in Venezuela, Gaddafi was using the gold standard, the gold dinar, to give them free education, free housing, social programs, free loans for school. What a terrible place. And now it's a failed state run by terrorists selling open slaves. Great job liberating that country, United States. Let's see if we can do the same thing with Venezuela. The reality is this is going to kick off into something, and I think we need to recognize that the Western powers at large, the U.S. oligarchy and Israel and Saudi Arabia specifically, do not have the best interest of humanity in mind in anything that they're doing. They use that as a cover for their agenda. And I don't think that can be any more clear after everything that we've talked about, even just from what we've talked about on the show today. So it's important to get this out for people to make them recognize what's really going on. Especially for this last story, keep an eye on it. We'll be following up to make sure we see what's happening there and give you the information, as well as with what's going to be developing in Syria, because I can promise you that's coming as well. But make sure to get this information out there. Spread the word. If you'd like to support this channel, you can do so in numerous ways in the show notes with all the links by buy a t-shirt or helping us fund us on PayPal or Patreon, any number of ways, because we are people funded. No one funds this channel other than you as the viewer, which means I have no corporate interest or no influence from anybody else. I'm fighting for the truth and for you, and that's it. Thank you so much for being here today. I love you all. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Now, I know that standards have slipped over the last few years in Washington, but for a lawyer, you're remarkably cavalier with any idea of justice.